Warning, second podcast in 1 week. Warning, second podcast in 1 week. Kia ora and welcome to Emirates Podcast episode 284. Today is Friday, July 13, 2012. Yes, it's Friday the 13th, which must be why I'm doing a second podcast episode in 1 week. That must be the logical explanation. I don't believe in such superstitious things, as you probably know by now. Today's episode is called Warmer because it is warmer. As a matter of fact, it was 8 degrees yesterday morning as opposed to zero, and I don't know what the temperature was this morning, but it was probably warmer again. It's so warm, in fact, that I am PWDO, podcasting with the doors open. I've got the ranch sliders open to the deck, and the dogs are going in and out, so you may actually hear them more than usual. And you thought that wasn't possible. Oh, no, it is. So, there's only a few things I wanted to tell you about today. I just basically had the opportunity to do a second episode, and I thought, why not? Indeed, why not? Probably because I've got no content. But aside from that reason, there is no reason. First thing I wanted to say, is I've talked in the past about the cathedral in Christchurch and how the Anglican Church was and the government were adamant that it had to be torn down. Recently, the Prime Minister said that the new cathedral should be built in the same spot, whether it incorporates any of the old or not or whatever, because it's that land is set aside for a cathedral, which makes me wonder how that happened. But anyway, and it also is called Cathedral Square, so it obviously makes sense that it should be there. And also, they want to attract stuff to the city center in Christchurch. But now there are independent people who are trying to save the cathedral who have commissioned a separate report which says that it is possible to save what's still there and that it would cost significantly less than the government says. Now, the Anglican, whatever they're called, the person in charge of the cathedral, is overseas, I think, for the Anglican General Synod or whatever they call it. So she's not available to look at the report, and the government, the minister in charge of all things like that, Jerry Brownlee, is also out of the country. So he wasn't able to see it either. And I don't know anything more about it than that, just that they've come up with this idea. And they say that they could do it for less than half of the $100 million that the government said it would cost. They said they could do it for less than $50 million. To repair it and also give it seismic strengthening and all that other stuff. So obviously this is a story that is not yet over, which is kind of interesting. But as that's going on, the power prices in Christchurch are about to go up because the lines company Orion is getting ready to raise the power. Even though they made something like an $84 million profit or something like that last year, they think it's time to raise the electricity rates on the few people remaining in Christchurch. And this is particularly galling because of the huge profits they got, but also because, this just isn't the right time to be talking about stuff like that when the city is still on its knees. And not a lot going on about that. I also saw in the news yesterday, in the U.S. TV news, now it's all over the news elsewhere today, is the controversy in the U.S. over the Olympic uniform because it was made in China. Every single piece of it was made in China. I thought they could have gone about how ugly it is, but that's another issue. What I find interesting about that is that I'm 99.9% certain that the New Zealand Olympic uniform is also made in China, but it didn't become an issue here, partly because we're used to the idea that nothing's made here anymore, but also because we don't have a vocal, how do I want to put this, a vocal segment of society that will go on the media and on the internets and so on talking about this sort of thing. So I just thought that was kind of fascinating that, here's this situation that is going on in the U.S. right now, and the same thing is basically true here as well, but it's just not a big deal. Nobody really takes much notice of it, nor do we take much notice of foreign sponsorship of our iconic brands like the All Blacks, for instance, which are sponsored by Adidas, and they've also been sponsored by Steinlager, which is was a brand of Lion Breweries, but Lion Breweries was acquired by Japan's Kirin Breweries. So basically our flagship sports team is foreign sponsored. And whatever. but there was another story that about something going on in America that also caught my ears. I was listening to Rachel Maddow's show, which I listened to as a podcast, and she was talking about a couple of things that President Obama had done. One was arranging health insurance for firefighters, you know, fighting these wildfires out west, because they're not, as part-time seasonal employees, they're not covered by health insurance. So he fixed that. And the other thing was that the Supreme Court ruled recently that the U.S. Congress cannot outlaw the fraudulent wearing of medals, of service medals, like the Distinguished Service Cross and so on, because even lying speech is covered by the First Amendment to the Constitution, which I thought was interesting. So the way they're fixing that is, this was basically suggested by the Supreme Court, they're setting up an online database that people can check to see if somebody really does have a Medal of Honor or whatever it might be. And Rachel Maddow was saying it was a sensible solution to the problem and all that, but I'm thinking this really shouldn't be a problem. In New Zealand, it is a crime to wear a medal that you're not entitled to, that you weren't given. There are some exceptions, like, for instance, in the Anzac Day Parade, the widow or children or grandchildren of a deceased service member can wear the medals in the parade. But as a general rule, the only people who are entitled to wear medals are the people who actually earned them. Now, New Zealand has free speech provisions, of protections, of course. They're in the Bill of Rights Act, among other things. And so it's not like this. The difference is that in New Zealand, it's not seen as a free speech issue. It's seen basically as a fraud issue. And people aren't entitled to perpetuate a fraud that claim trying to pass themselves off as somebody who's earned a Medal of Honor of some sort when, in fact, they haven't. But it's interesting to me as a person sort of between two cultures, if you will, looking at the two different, completely different approaches to the exact same issue. It came up recently when somebody was alleged to have been wearing a medal fraudulently, and it turned out they did, but the paperwork had been lost. They actually earned the medal, but the paperwork had been lost somewhere in the ether, and they finally found the paperwork, and everything was all sorted out. So that's how that came into our news. And it is just interesting, the completely different approaches that two cultures take to basically the exact same issue. Now, moving on. Let's do this. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Arthur.
Hey, I had an idea.
What's that?
Why don't we do a podcast together?
What a great idea. There's only one problem. We don't have a name for our podcast.
You're right. Yes, the new podcast, the recording of the new podcast, will be this coming Sunday, North American time, Monday, my time. And we still don't have a name for it. We've gotten a few suggestions. I've gotten a couple of emails. We've gotten some Twitter suggestions here, there, and everywhere. But there's still plenty of time for you to give your suggestion as to what we should call this podcast. You can leave a comment to this episode, which you can do at amrinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me, Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrinspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. And any other way you can think of to contact me, you can do that as well. But we'd really like to hear what you think this thing should be called. And so get on to it, because time's a-wasting. But I'm going to now move on to comments. And there was a written comment on the podcast site. Now, I want to say that I discovered recently that for some reason I'm not getting email notifications of comments. And so if I do seem to be getting ones that for ones that need to be moderated, but not necessarily ones for comments that are posted. So I may miss it from time to time. So don't be alarmed if I don't say anything about it or reply or what have you. That's what's going on. So anyway, this comment was to the previous episode, 283 Colder, and was from Coreplane, who said, "One thing you didn't touch on in your census discussion is the sensitivity some, many, most, people with Jewish background feel about the idea of the government, any government, having a convenient list of all the Jews in the country. The historical reasons are obvious. Similar fears could attach for other races, in quote marks, more properly identifiable groups, either now or in the future." Thank you. And that's actually a good point. And I know that when there first seemed to be a way of kind of officially, unofficially taking census information about GLBT people in the U.S., especially couples, that a lot of people felt that was a really bad idea because it was just giving the government a list of people to come for. And you have to remember, it was really quite, there was still a lot of hostility. The Reagan years were awful. And then the Clinton years turned out to not to be so much better, primarily because from 94 onwards, the Republicans were aggressive and on the march. And so a lot of people felt that they shouldn't say anything. We don't have quite those problems here, partly because we have a Bill of Rights Act that protects people from government excess. And the targets of hate groups, which wouldn't have access to this information anyway, but the targets of hate groups tend not to go after the usual suspects, gay people, Jews, what have you. Instead, they tend to go after Māori and Asians and some people of different ethnicities, I suppose, Pacifica peoples and so on. Pacifica, I mentioned that several times. By the way, that means people from Pacific Islands, but it's considered derogatory to say Pacific Islander. So now you know, the more you know. Anyway, we don't have a particular history of anti-Semitism in New Zealand. Going way back, I mean, one of our noted prime ministers or premiers, I think they were in that, it was Julius Vogel, who was in fact Jewish. And we had another one whose name escapes me at the moment. And John Key is actually technically Jewish because his mother was Jewish, even though he wasn't, I don't believe he was raised Jewish. Maybe his father was too. I'm actually not sure what his father was. No, I think it was just his mother. At any rate, the point is that New Zealand doesn't have a history of anti-Semitism as some other countries do. So what you're really talking about would be immigrants from other countries coming here and being uncomfortable. But I'm not so sure that that's as driving a force with younger people as it is with older people, because especially in Western democracies where they're, if you look at countries, well, even some other countries that have had issues, shall we say, in their treatment of Jewish people, like the U.S., for instance, they never had pogroms or rounded people up and so on. And as time passes, I think that people tend to be a bit more relaxed about such things. Now, I realize that the U.S. in particular has a very vocal group, probably Australia does too, of Jewish people who will lobby on specific issues and raise concerns that most people probably wouldn't have. But I would suggest that in New Zealand, those concerns are not very big or very pronounced, precisely because we don't have a history of anti-Semitism in New Zealand as other countries do. So I haven't seen any evidence. I've never heard any Jewish person or synagogue, rabbi, what have you, question the collection of religious information, particularly because I don't believe it's actually identifiable. The law says that the information I looked this up, by the way, in the show notes to the last episode, I put a link to New Zealand Census and confidentiality, so you can follow me up on some of this stuff. But basically, the law says that no government agency has any right to the information contained within the census except the census people, which is a division of Statistics New Zealand, I believe. The police can't access it. Immigration can't access it. The tax people can't access it. Nobody can get to it. And the reason for that is precisely to get around some of those problems that you're talking about, to make people feel more comfortable about sharing information they might be a bit more concerned about otherwise. And it works because we do have a fairly high compliance rate. I also learned, I said last time I thought they destroyed them, I have learned that in 2005, which was during the last Labor government, they changed the law to require that all census forms be kept for 100 years. Now, I don't know what the law was before that, and it could be that's what I'm thinking of, because it's not like I follow the details of those kinds of laws. I mean, I don't follow the details of a lot of laws, to be honest, but they do keep the data on file in a secure electronic form for 100, well, secure in quote marks, because, I mean, is anything really secure? But anyway, for 100 years. And I don't know what happens at the end of 100 years, if they destroy it or they release it or what they do. But basically, that means that the information isn't accessible to any other unit of government unless there's a law change and I can't see there being a lot of popular support behind that sort of a law change, at the moment, nobody but the statistic people have access to that information. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I hope it does. And that is actually it for today. I just wanted to, like I said, I just wanted to record because I could. And I'm actually going out to get some stuff to make dinner for tonight. And then Nigel's cousin arrives on Sunday, and she's going to stay with us during the week for the next few weeks. She's just come back to New Zealand from being posted overseas for her job. And so I've got the house pretty much ready for that as well. And other than that, we're just getting back into the swing of things. So as I said, on Sunday, Paul and I are going to be recording the pilot episode of the new podcast, which has no name. And you can change that by giving us a name, please. That's it for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.